Thanks for joining us here at Razzle Dazzle Radio. Spring is in the air and life is getting a little easier, and we are hopeful to the return of life as we knew it. And today I'm super excited because we have four icons of dance here to celebrate the month of women's history and all the accomplishments that they've brought to us, and especially their resiliency through this pandemic. So we always discuss how important the arts are for pulling us up. And these four gals have really done that for us in so many creative ways. So first I'd like to turn this over to Carolyn, and she's gonna talk about a celebration of a great dame of dance, of Carol Maxwell, who all of us truly know and honor. So Carolyn, tell us what's happening with that.
First of all, welcome to all the guests and a big happy birthday, Carol Maxwell. I won't say what year it is, but it's a big significant one. And what she's doing this year to celebrate is to invite all her dancers who've gone far and yonder in professional careers and others to come back to Columbia and dance for her. And the details aren't exactly ready yet, but I know she's invited, dozens of dancers to come back to celebrate her 80th birthday. Whoops, I said it. So happy birthday, Carol Maxwell. And from Carol Maxwell to Cindy Velli, who will be joining us later, we have a super dancer named Candace. Welcome.
Candace, thank you for coming. And yes, Candace is part of the Cindy Velli Ballet Company. And Cindy told me in person a couple weeks ago, as soon as she heard people could come out, she sent out her schedules, she called her instructors, and she got out her ballet shoes. So tell us what's happening over at Longreach as you all have brought classes during the pandemic.
Thank you for having me, and welcome. Thank you. So right now we are holding in-person classes. It's about 9 dancers and the teacher, so it's 10 people in each studio. We are not Zooming. It's all in person every week, and it's been that way since September. We did hold classes in the summertime that were in person. We had some camps and evening classes as well, but we are hanging tight, and we're still, you know, practicing our social distancing and masked. The parents are not allowed in, so they drop them off and they have their class. And then, so it's been working out pretty well so far.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm going to give a plug to Candace's adult tap class that I take at Studio Dance, which we will hear about from Dana a little later. And she is just the best. Oh my gosh. She is the height of my week. She just is so enthusiastic, and it's just a fun class. So if you're looking for a fun adult tap class, sign up. And thank you, Candace, for you and Cindy bringing back to the children. That's what I'm so impressed about, is getting those kids out. So I saw all those little ballerinas just looking at you with twinkly eyes.
Thank you. It's been a joy for them to come back and, you know, dance weekly. So it's been really fun for them. So thank you.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you. And then we're going to move now to the college and Elizabeth Higgins, who, oh my gosh, it's wonderful to just see you, even though it's on a flat screen. And you have made all kinds of things happen virtually, and you have a dance festival coming up. So tell us what's going on over at the college.
Thank you so much for having me join you. I'm honored to be with this group of women, and it's great to hear that people are still making dance and keeping it going. It's been a really busy year for us, for all the things that we've done at HCC, having to pivot to online last spring and, you know, get used to teaching on Zoom. And then in the fall, we were completely on Zoom. We produced our first virtual concert, the Dance Showcase, which was a mix of student choreography and guest choreography, which we learned a lot by doing that. So that was kind of a great new window into the world of dance for the camera. You know, several of us had worked in that genre before, but this gave us a deeper perspective on the whole form. And then we did have our dance festival in February, which was really successful also. That was a virtual dance festival that my colleague Darian Smith directed. And it was a series of masterclasses. And then we were able to stream a beautiful performance by Efrat Oshry's company from New York. And then the students had an opportunity to present their work the following day. And now we are so fortunate that we've been approved for hybrid So some of our classes are actually back on campus this spring, which is so wonderful to be in the studio with them. So much more detail we can give them. We've, you know, had a great time on Zoom, but we're really happy to be back, at least part of the time. And we have just finished filming our HCC Dance Company concert, and we had an amazing crew. So we filmed it in the theater, in the Smith Theater, and now we're in the process of editing the works. And again, it's a mix of faculty and guest choreography this time, all performed by students, our HCC students. And we have Orange Grove and Matt and Colette, you know, Matt Reeves and Colette Krogel are editors and film designers. And they're also choreographers. So I feel like they have a really great perspective on how to edit the work. And our guest artist this year was Vincent Thomas. And I co-directed the dance company with Alex J. Krebs. And my colleague Darian Smith has a piece on the program. So that airs April 30th through May 14th. So please keep an eye out. I think it's going to be a beautiful concert.
Do you have to get tickets? I mean, I never understand this virtual thing sometimes. Do we have to call ahead or check
you
in?
You actually visit the website like you normally would for the Horowitz Center. And then when you click on dance, it'll lead you to the different events we've had this year. So the only one left is this HCC Dance Company concert. There's not a lot of information up right now. Everything's going to be added in the next couple weeks. And then once you click on that, you'll get all the dates that are available and you choose the date that you want to watch it. And you go through the prompts to register. And this time it is a $5 ticket price. And then they will send you the link the day of so that you can actually watch the concert.
I want to jump in here, Liz, because I did see your festival and got a chance to write a little bit about it. And I think what you're doing is interesting. The fact that you are filming ahead of time and letting, you know, being able to edit it. So I congratulate you on that. And I did see the new work and wonder what other new works are going to be done in this concert.
Thank you. Thanks for your support, Carolyn. This concert, I have a new work that I created for four dancers. It incorporates some props. I have some ropes that are tied around the dancers' waists because it gives that sense of counterbalance. You know, we're all missing touch and partnering so desperately. So at least these ropes kind of give that sensation of pull and counterbalance. And then there's another work. Darian created a new trio, which is just fun and energetic and upbeat, lots of, you know, fast dynamic movement. Alex J. Krebs sort of recapitulated a piece she had started last year that unfortunately we were never able to perform because the concert got canceled. So she took some of that material. There's this long stretched burgundy tulle fabric that they use again, sort of to create sense of counterbalance and symmetry and asymmetry as the dancers work on either side. It almost creates that boundary for social distancing inherently, but they also have different pieces of tulle that are wrapped around their faces and that compress the space downward. So she really plays with the prop quite a bit. And then Vincent Thomas created a lovely work on two dancers where they speak, they sing, and they're using just one prop, a blanket for that, but very touching, very poignant and powerful work as always. Vincent is a professor at Towson University and has his own company and beautiful artist. So it was an honor to have him with us. And then the last work is actually a really fun, kind of quirky piece that Alex and I co-choreographed on two dancers. And we use all kinds of bizarre props that we found in prop storage. Lampshades, art easels, a big giant throne, and these styrofoam balls and heads that I spray painted gold. We kind of went with this gold theme. We started finding these props that had the color gold, and we just kind of went with it. And I feel like that piece is going to be very surreal and very much about how it's edited together. It's nonlinear, and we're really giving the editors a lot of freedom to be creative and splice things and collage things and overlay. So this is really exciting because I really feel like this team deeply understands the art form. So I'm learning a lot in the process as well about how things are filmed. We also, I forgot to mention Jonathan Sue, who was the director of photography. Fantastic. If you ever need somebody to do your film work or photography, highly recommend him. Great artist.
A quick question to you and then to every other guest here. How do you keep in shape during this pandemic?
Did I keep in shape? I don't know that I did. I feel like I'm getting back in shape. I mean, honestly, it's been a struggle. It's been a struggle for all of us. I have walked and hiked consistently, even in the cold weather. I said, I got to get out and move. Because literally, when you're not getting in your car and getting out of the parking garage and walking into the building and walking to the cafeteria and going up and down the stairs, that alone, suddenly your physicality is so much more compressed than it normally is. And then when you're teaching on Zoom and your space is a 4x4 area, it's compressed yet again. So I did a lot of online yoga classes, online dance classes, taking walks, taking hikes, just trying really desperately. But I find now that I'm back in the studio, my body does feel quite different. And I feel like that's a slow progression to get back to where we all were.
Liz, I'm remembering a year ago on campus when we heard that we were not going to be in person and we were all going to be online, and all of us in the arts and humanities were like, how are we going to do that? How are we going to bring it? But I love your pieces, and you incorporated the times into the whole choreography, and I love how you put that all together. That is real resiliency and choreography and beyond. I'm impressed.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to see it.
I'm glad you feel that way. I'm glad it did resonate with you.
I do. And actually, I just see that Miss Cindy has just popped in. So let's backtrack for a minute. Carolyn, you want to talk to her a little more about Carol Maxwell's event?
Are you there, Cindy?
I am here. Welcome, ladies. Happy St. Patty's Day.
First, let me introduce Cindy to all our listeners. I have known and have written about Cindy and her talent since she was in high school. So and over the years with her—
10 years ago,
yeah. And her company, the Nutcrackers, the touring Nutcrackers, I've enjoyed every moment writing about you. The question I have though is, your mentor, Carol Maxwell, is celebrating her birthday this year.
Yes.
And I had mentioned it earlier in the show, but maybe you have some more details on who's coming back. I've already given her age out, so you don't have to say that.
Oh, you've already given out her age. Well, then, you know, it's a very significant birthday. And I just tell Carol, I want to be her when I grow up. She is such an inspiration, and she has been for decades. And now she's inspiring my students as well, which is really exciting. She is planning a gala, a performance. It's going to be sometime, hopefully in the fall. The details really aren't out yet, and we don't know exactly who's going to be in it yet, but there will be, I'm sure, many, many people. And I know she'll be reaching out for performers. She wants it to be a benefit. I think she knows who the benefit's going to be for. She's looking at the Harrah County Arts Council, but she has to work all the details out. So it's a little early to put details out there, but I think there will be a lot of familiar faces and most likely some new faces on stage as well, because we have so many up and coming dancers in Harrah County. It's really incredible to see this new generation of dancers coming up. So I don't have a lot of details for you, but I know we will as we get closer. As you know, things are still opening up. So what it's going to look like, is it going to be all in person? Is it going to be a mixture of in-person and virtual? I think we're still trying to figure that out. The shows that are coming up within the next 3 months. So as far as what the show in the fall is going to look like, it's just too early to say, but it's going to be amazing, I'm sure.
We've already heard that you are teaching classes in person for the kiddies, and I'm sure you're going to work on a Nutcracker this year, right?
We're planning on it. Exactly where and when it will be, I don't know yet, but the first thing to do is get the dancers lined up. And let me tell you, those kids are chomping at the bit. I've had so many of them come to me, and it's like, I really miss the Nutcracker. It's like, no, I did too, you know? So we had another kind of performance instead in December. We had last year's June recital in December. Instead of the Nutcracker. But we've already set our audition date. And I really think the first thing is to get the kids lined up, see who you've got, and then put the show together based on the dancers to showcase them and make them look their best.
The gift that you give, of course, is, you know, starting children early. And it was just wonderful when I stopped in at Stonehouse a couple weeks ago and still felt the excitement of the parents outside and the little girls all around. And, you know, that excitement I pay for right now, to feel that in-person excitement. So thank you, as I said to Candace earlier too, for bringing that back, because children need that right now. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
And so I loved when you said, as soon as I heard I could come back, I didn't look back. I just went forward. So
we opened the doors. We had our spring session in our pocket ready to go. And we kept changing it. And you all know, it's like, okay, well, let's roll it back, set the date back. But Larry Hogan said, you can be open on Saturday. On Friday, Saturday, our doors are open, and we had kids coming in. And it was just so good to see everybody and to actually you know, the Zoom stuff. It's really hard to navigate Shenay turns in my living room because there's no. It's a wonder I still have a TV left, you know?
Yes, we all do know.
I guess we talked about putting together our bloopers. Like a lot of our classes, we would pre-record and then show them like a day or two later. And I got to take out the Shenay sitting in TV, you know. But it's just, you know, jumping up and hitting your head on the ceiling. It's just, you know. So it's just so good. It really makes you appreciate your space when you can get back into it, for sure.
Yep, that's what Liz said. See, Liz is in her space right now too, so.
Thanks
again for getting us back. Yep, you have really helped so many of the children in Columbia to get back in, and we so appreciate it. Dana, you have done the same thing. Dana Keene, and she is the director of studio dance up in Fulton, Maryland. Beautiful studio, big studio with lots and lots of dancers. So how did you do it?
Well, like you said early on, Judy, you know, dance lifts us up, pulls us up. And we all know the gifts and the properties that come with a dance education that's therapeutic, that's endorphin producing. So in the early stages with so many students, like over 600, we didn't feel like we could make this definitive everybody back. So we did more surveys than I think we've ever done in the 15 years I've been in directing this. I mean, we just figured they're our clients and we have to defer more to them and their comfort level with this pandemic. So, and I have to give a huge credit to two of our newest directors, Zoe Carr and Brittany Tortlot, because they really made this all happen. So early on, we were doing virtual. Either you had an all virtual component, you had a hybrid component, or you had an in-studio component, depending upon the number of the students that were signed up. And that really continued. We opened our studio dance doors for our studio dance company choreography. Every August for 2.5 weeks, we bring in choreographers. We have some Rockettes. We have people in the industry, people who've been on Broadway, come in and set pieces on our students, our company students. We prepare 58 pieces in 2.5 weeks. And that was primarily in studio and hybrid. But in the sense, like we have some of our numbers have 19 kids. So fast forward to this past Sunday, and a couple of our pieces with 19 kids where the only time they could be together was in the parking lot, you know, at least figuring out formations. So come this past Sunday, yes, we were in the Jim Rouse Theater. So,
What did that feel like? Oh my gosh.
I cried when I stepped on the theater.
I bet.
And that was the first time that for 9 of our pieces, the girls could say, or the dancers, I shouldn't say all girls, oh, that's who I passed during that. Oh, that's who is, you know, like they, for the first time, danced full out with their 18 dance mates. And it was just thrilling. And the parents, as Cindy mentioned, you know, we can't have the parents come in. We just, you know, can't risk that extra germs in the studio. So they were just blown away. I think it was just this kind of like, oh, there is a light. There is, you know, we have a song, ooh, child, things are going to get easier. And I'm like, that's our theme.
Perfect.
So yeah, our students learned during the audition process, they had to submit a video of them doing all the skills. We did a Zoom audition for our company. So we just tried to keep all the landmarks of our dance year going. We weren't going to say anything pushed to the side. We did have a virtual recital last year, but we are now slated to be at Jim Rouse mid-June for an in-theater recital. And we have our first competition this Saturday at Jim Rouse. So it's been, oh, like Cindy said, the back and forth. You set a date and then you have to dial back. You have to pivot another way. But I wouldn't have changed anything because the kids, I've never seen them bond as much as they have had. I mean, they're just, it's almost been a dance studio director's delight because you don't have the prom to convince, you don't have the other high school activities. This is the only in town. So I just have felt we have had their full, like, I'm in this. I want to be here. I'm in a, you know, especially because they haven't been able to go to school. So that's my long-winded way to say that's kind of how we approached this past year.
I love the way you built on that. That's great. And you are right. There's definitely some helpful things that have gone forward. And again, when I still think of how dancers have combined with technology, they're like two separate parts of our brain. So we had to do it, you know, and it's just amazing how that's going on. So Carolyn, what else did you want to ask? Because I know you always have some questions.
On the competition is interesting to me because that you have that happening this weekend, you said, at the Rouse. Well, there is going to be a Washington, D.C. Grand Prix. And this is a really huge event. It's a ballet competition for students ages 9 to 19, young dancers ages 20 to 23. It's also happening at the Jim Rouse Theater, April 30th to May 2nd. And apparently they're going to be international and they have over 100 students who are coming, or dancers, I should say, who will be part of this festival for 3 days. And the person in charge of it is Svetlana Krasova from the L'Etoile Ballet. And she's organized this again. So that's another thing to happen. But I still want to go back real quickly to ask Candace how you keep in shape, because you're beautiful and I'm sure you're a great dancer.
And well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. You know what? It's been challenging, or it was challenging at first. So, you know, teaching those long hours and at the studio till 9 o'clock, getting home and situated by 9:30, 10, that's when you're sitting down for dinner. So with the pandemic, and now you're at home, you have, oh, now I have time to cook. Now I get to make all these nice meals. So, you know, at first, you know, it's you're making all these delicious meals and experiencing all these different things in the kitchen. So, you know, it was challenging, but now I'm getting back into it, and we have our elliptical fixed. So we have like a mini gym here, and I've been working out a lot more at home and, you know, taking classes, finding classes online that have been entertaining and really strengthening. So it was a struggle at first, but now it's, you know, you snap out of that and say, oh, I got to get it back together and get back in it. So, and now we have the motivation because we're back now in the studio. The weather's getting nicer because it was hard, especially during the winter when it was cold and it's just, you know, what do you do? So
I've been taking a gyro class with Bonnie Schulman online. And I love it. Gyro, anybody else into that? Anybody else take that class? It's great. So I'm going to continue online for a while.
Yeah.
Carolyn, you don't need to ask Cindy Velli how she kept in shape, because she hasn't changed one second.
Right.
I'm going to say all the years I've known her. I mean, she still has the classical ballet body. So don't even ask her how. Leave her out of it. And Dana as well. Dana hasn't changed one bit. So I like to think probably some of the stress of keeping things going kept some of the pounds off, you know, not that that's the best way, certainly. So before we have to go, can I ask each one of you, what's your dream for moving forward? What do you want to do after we get out of the pandemic, of course, in the world of dance? So I'll start with you, Miss Cindy.
So moving forward, I feel like we're on a good path to getting close to where we were before we got shut out of this whole thing. It's been really exciting to me to see not only people coming back who were gone, but we actually picked up a lot of new people. And I think, Judy, that's because, like you were saying, parents are looking for things for their kids to do. So my goal would be that a lot of these pandemic babies will stay with us, and that we can watch them grow up in the school, because I'm sure that, you know, those of you that have studios, you will attest to that one of the most fulfilling things about this is having a student from a young age and watching them blossom, not just as a dancer, but as a person. And you get to know the families over the years, and you feel like you have a hand in helping that child grow up. So that's a big goal, is to see a lot of these kids stay with it and to continue to dance and to continue just to grow up to be amazing people. I'm very blessed in that I have a lot of young people involved in the school, one being my daughter, who has been a wonderful asset as a daughter and also, you know, as part of the school. I have Miss, who we call Shawnee, you call her Candace. We called her Shawnee as a student when she grew up in our school. Shawnee went away, or Candace, not to confuse you. She went away to Pittsburgh, and she got her degree in dance at Point Park. And then she came back, and now she's teaching for us. I have other teachers in my school who grew up in our dance school and loved it so much they came back and now they're teaching. So I'm excited to see this tradition continue as the school grows, pass the torch on to the next generation. I'm not retiring yet. I'm excited that our school has a future and we have families and students and teachers that are really invested in the school. And it's all grassroots, it's local, it's community, and it's family.
I want to still hear real quickly from Liz. What are you thinking after the pandemic?
Well, I am excited to see this gradual progression back to being in the studio. I think we're going to have more of that in the fall if all goes well. But I also want to carry the lessons with us, right? We've kind of taken a little peek into this world of dance for the camera and what that offers us. And I think we can kind of incorporate some of those technological artistic opportunities into the work that we've already been doing live on the stage. So I'm sort of excited to see how we can weave all those elements together as we get back into the space and really become a community together in person. Because I love that energy of just really being with the students, seeing the audience react to the work and that flow of communication between. So yeah, hopefully it'll all come together in an even stronger and better venue in the end, better picture, better artwork, right? Just try to
that's your creative spirit and your resiliency. So I love it. And all of you have brought that. Dana, tell us, what are you thinking about after the pandemic?
I'm with Liz. I agree. I feel now there's new opportunities to explore dance in different ways. I'm working on a project right now, Into the Woods, with Young Artists of America, and I'm learning how to choreograph for the camera. So I'm kind of really excited about all this. I think the dancers have come to appreciate and have an appreciation for what this form is, because when they didn't have it, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, this is part of my soul. This is who I am as a person, as a young woman, as a young man. And I just feel like it's given dance studios another opportunity to have a revenue stream in the way of virtual classes. So bring everybody in the studio, but if somebody's sick or somebody can't be there, you have now this virtual opportunity. So I think it's kind of exciting. I wish it didn't come for this reason, but I think that's what life's about, learning from the things that happen and just trying to learn and grow from it. So that's my
finding the gifts out of the chaos. And that's why we celebrate all of you today. Thank you for everything that you've brought before the pandemic, during, and what you're yet to bring. Thank you to Elizabeth Higgins from the college, Miss Cindy Vallee of Vallee Ballet. I love saying that. Dana of Studio Dance, and Candace, and she works between both of the studios. So we have included it all, plus Carolyn Kellerman, who has been our arts and dance editor forever, promoting everyone good in dance. This has been a blast, and I'm humbled at all of your presence. So keep on moving, and as Carolyn's column used to say, gotta move, gotta dance. Thank you. I love you all.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.